Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So, where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's gonna bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here! You gotta see this!
No, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial. This is Joan.
Morning.
Joan is an owner-operator truck driver.
Yep, hauling some produce today.
She doesn't have the time to fool around.
Ooh, so true.
Joan traded up to GEICO Commercial Insurance for serious 360 coverage, not just for her truck, but for her cargo. She can even get serious savings for her inspection history.
So, where's the GEICO twist? Is Napoleon gonna come out driving a forklift?
Bonjour!
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
Oh, no. Au revoir!
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Saturday is a busy day of bowl games in the Big 12. We've got you covered here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. I'm Pete Mundo. Thanks for joining us, as always, as a part of the show. So, let's talk about the New Mexico Bowl between TCU and Louisiana Lafayette. If you are new to the show, subscribe right now. Takes you no time. We're not asking you for anything else. We appreciate you being here as we will continue to preview and predict every single Big 12 bowl game this bowl season. So TCU is a heavy favorite, but I will tell you what, it is well deserved. The Raging Cajuns are going to be shorthanded in this game. It's a high likelihood that they are going to be down to their third string quarterback for this one. So right out of the gate, you say to yourself, okay, I've got TCU and I'm going up against a third string quarterback. Sign me up for that. Why is that? Their backup quarterback got banged up in the Sun Championship game, which they lost to Marshall 31-3, and it showed in a big way. It was ugly for Louisiana. So Daniel Beal is expected to be the guy, a freshman who was thrown into duty against Marshall in that Sun Belt title game and didn't go all that well for him. That's a tough spot to be walking into, but still. You've got a TCU team and an offense in particular that is right up there and as high octane as almost anybody in the country. You have Josh Hoover at quarterback, threw for 3,700 yards, 23 touchdowns, overlooked, I would argue, in the Big 12 this past season. But here's a guy who has a big arm, a ton of talent around him, and he's looking to put a really just tie together and put a bow on a great offensive season for the Horned Frogs. Now, you just right away compare those two things and you say, okay, obvious advantage, TCU, right? Now, if there's something that might concern you in this game for TCU, it's the fact that Louisiana does have a very good rushing attack. Top 25 in the country in yards per rush, but, and TCU is weak on defense when it comes to rush defense. But with a third-string freshman quarterback, I'm not concerned about that. Because if you're TCU, if you're Sonny Dykes, and you're going into this game, you're basically saying, okay, we're stacking the box, beat our guys through the air. I'm bringing everything, I'm preparing for the run, stop our guys, and beat our guys through the passing attack. And until Louisiana proves it can do that, TCU is going to be lined up for a very big day. Now, as for the betting market, where this thing was, where it opened, where it's at right now. So TCU opened up as 8.5-point favorites. They're now 10-point favorites in this New Mexico Bowl. And 60% of the tickets are on TCU. It moved about 1.5, maybe 2 points in some places. I'm rolling with TCU minus 10. I don't think that you need to be all that worried about 10 versus 10.5. I would maybe buy the 0.5 if you have to get that number to 10. But TCU is a team that was sneaky good this season and probably didn't get the credit that it should have gotten coming out of the season. I mean, 8-4, bounce back year for Sonny Dykes. They had a tough patch in the middle of the season. But all in all, this team finished strong, winning 3 in a row. Now, I know it was against mediocre competition, Oklahoma State, Arizona, and Cincinnati, but they beat them all pretty easily. They had the big comeback against Texas Tech, a really tough loss to Baylor that could have gone either way, and that's a Baylor team that's playing easily top 20 football in the country right now, if you're going to look back on the last half a season. So TCU really got overlooked. It's a good football team. They turned it around after a couple of tough losses early against SMU and UCF, and I know it's the New Mexico Bowl. The only thing that concerns me is that TCU basically isn't jazzed up because, well, it's the New Mexico Bowl. But a lot of these guys are coming back. They want to end the season on a high note. Sonny Dykes knows that if this team largely comes back intact next year, they can be a team that's talked about as winning the Big 12 and getting to a college football playoff if everything breaks right. So give me this high-octane offense. Give me TCU in a pretty dominant victory here in the New Mexico Bowl. Something like, I'll say TCU 38, Louisiana Lafayette 21. There you go. I'm Pete Mundo, HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Thanks for being here. Make sure that you are subscribed to the channel and leave us that 5-star rating and review if you are on the podcast. Let's dive into the Pop-Tarts Bowl here at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you for being a part of the show as always, as we continue to break down every single Big 12 bowl game that is out there on the schedule this week and next week. And we'll give you a prediction as well, a pick against the spread. And our picks, as of this recording, are undefeated thus far. I'm just going to throw that out there. You do with the information what you want. But we're feeling pretty good about things as, I just call it how I see it. Now, the Pop-Tarts Bowl, Iowa State, Miami, one of the better non-college football playoff bowl games out there. You've got the high-octane offense of the Miami Hurricanes going up against Iowa State's stingy, bend but don't break, but broke too often this season defense. And by the way, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. So let's just dive into this here for a second from a Miami offensive perspective. Miami is obviously playing Cam Ward, their star quarterback, who is expected to be a high NFL draft pick. They've got an offense that ranks number one in the nation in points and total yards per game in the regular season. Ward set multiple single season school records, threw for 4,100 yards, 36 touchdowns. His top receiver isn't sure whether or not he's playing. Running back Damian Martinez, fellow senior, also expected to be drafted, is playing. Miami is a team that was looking at a college football playoff, and then, of course, they lost a couple of games down the stretch, and they fell out of the conversation. They lost to Georgia Tech and Syracuse by a combined 7 points, and that's what cost them a spot in the college football playoff, and they may have very well been, in hindsight, the best team in the ACC. Instead, the ACC sent SMU and Clemson to the college football playoff, and those, arguably, neither of them were the best team in the league. But that's how this thing shakes out sometimes. So with that being said, what concerns me for Iowa State is that people are going to look at Iowa State and they're going to say, well, they've got a really good defense. They've got one of the best defenses in the Big 12, and that's going to make this a Miami offense against an Iowa State defense that will determine the game. That's true to an extent. Iowa State's pass defense is very good, tops in the Big 12. Their rushing defense was not good this year. In fact, their rushing defense was second worst in the Big 12 ahead of only Oklahoma State. And that concerns me because you've got a Miami team that, yes, everyone talks about Cam Ward, but they were right up there when it comes to rushing yards in the SEC as well. I mean, they were top five in the SEC, or ACC, excuse me, with 180 rushing yards per game, which means if you are Damian Martinez, well, guess what? You are licking your chops. And that is going to set up Cam Ward to potentially put up some big numbers, and he wants to. He's talked about it. So that right there is the concerning part to me. I think that Miami is going to get its points. I genuinely don't know if Iowa State's going to be in a position where it can keep up offensively. Because for all the talk about Miami's offense, the defense wasn't bad. The defense gave up 319 yards per game on average, which was the lowest in the entire ACC, ahead of SMU, ahead of Duke, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, I mean, some of the better defenses in the ACC. Miami's was better than all of them based on just the numbers. Points per game, they only gave up 23 and change, which was right outside the top five in the ACC. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, okay, I mean, listen, I'm a Big 12 guy. I want to pick Iowa State, but I can. And the other thing is Matt Campbell, just for as great of a job as Matt Campbell has done, his teams haven't done great in these bowl games. I remember the Liberty Bowl game, his first bowl game that they won against Clemson. That was a lot of fun. That was also 7 years ago. And for all the success, this team has won one bowl game. It was the Fiesta Bowl with Brock Purdy and those guys after they got to the Big 12 championship in 2020. Since then, they had that Cheez-It Bowl loss, which is the same thing as the Pop-Tarts Bowl. They lost that game to Clemson. They lost their bowl game last year. They played in the Liberty Bowl. They lost that game to Memphis. So they've lost a Camping World Bowl, which is also now the Pop-Tarts Bowl, the Notre Dame a few years back. They lost an Alamo Bowl game a bunch of years ago against Washington State. Now, some of these games are closer than others, but for whatever reason, this team, for all the success under Matt Campbell, hasn't really played well in bowl games. So combine that with the fact that I don't like the matchup, and I'm going to go Miami minus the 4.5. It also feels like it'll be heavily, I mean, maybe not. I don't want to jump to conclusions on this. We know Iowa State travels very well. But Miami's going, what, 3 hours up the road? You tell me that can't be in some ways highly beneficial to them with a lot of their big guys getting set to play in this game, some for the very last time. So all in all, I am going to take the team that is closer to home. I don't want to say in its own backyard, with the better quarterback in this game, the much more high-octane offense, and a defense that is getting overlooked here as well. So give me Miami beating Iowa State by a final of, I'm going to say, 31-24 in the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Miles here is an electrician running wiring for this new home build.
Good morning.
Miles doesn't have time for funny business.
I guess.
Miles traded up to Sirius Commercial Auto Insurance from GEICO for customized coverage that grows with his business, all for seriously low rates.
So where's the GEICO surprise cameo?
Come again?
You know, like some big famous football player or something. He's going to bust through that wall, isn't he?
No, this ad is serious business.
Guys, get over here. You got to see this.
No, there's nothing funny over here. Sorry. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.
Now it's time on Heartland College Sports to dive into the Alamo Bowl. It's an all Big 12 matchup. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. We cover the Big 12. Thank you for being here. And make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Just hit it right below. You can't miss it. We cover the Big 12, and I'll be a little bit biased when I say I don't think anybody does it better. So this game is all Big 12 because, well, the Alamo Bowl still has the relationship and the contract with the Pac-12, so it's kind of an awkward situation. Colorado's there technically as the Pac-12 team. BYU is there as the Big 12 team, but of course we all know they are both in the Big 12. They're also both teams that went 7-2. And tied for first place in the regular season, but due to tiebreakers, neither team made the Big 12 championship game. So they're motivated. They're both very good teams. And in large part, all the guys that you would want to see play are playing in this game, which will make it, I believe, one of the most compelling non-college football playoff bowl games out there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, you look at, and I'll give you a prediction in this game. I'll give you a pick here at the end of it. We're off to a great start in our picks here at HeartlandCollegeSports.com. You can follow them when you're on the YouTube channel, on the podcast. You can listen back to all of my picks. That way you know when you can keep track of how we're doing. So Colorado's playing all its big guys. Shirder Sanders closing out his career with Pops as his head coach. You've got Travis Hunter, of course, the Heisman winner as well, playing in this game. On the other side, Jake Retzlaff, junior quarterback, had a big season, helping them start off 9-0. And he passed for 2,800 yards, 26 touchdowns, had a very good year. But you've got a situation here where Colorado is playing everybody. Deion Sanders announced, if you missed it, they have massive disability insurance on these top guys coming into this game, which is why basically they're all playing. If not, they probably wouldn't. Now, Colorado, and obviously covering the Big 12 like we do, Colorado is a team that was playing some of the best football in the entire, not just Big 12, but the country down the stretch. They lost a tough game at Arrowhead Stadium against Kansas when Kansas was putting on a show those last couple of weeks that obviously kept them out of the Big 12 championship game. Had they won that game, and Deion said his guys were feeling themselves a little bit too much, they had won four in a row leading up to that game against Kansas, and they just put up a dud of a game. But they were playing some of the best football in the country over the second half of the season. BYU started to fade during the second half of the season. BYU, after a bunch of late wins, call it luck, call it whatever you want, kind of came back down the earth, losing back-to-back games against Kansas and then at Arizona State. This was after, you know, close wins against, oh gosh, I mean, go back to SMU, but they earned that win on the road. But the ones that really stand out to me, the Utah win, the Oklahoma State win, the Baylor win hanging on there. So some of those were just kind of hanging on and getting a little bounce there late, but nothing to apologize for. But when you look at the advanced analytics, what you see is that BYU was punching above its weight, offensively and defensively. That's just a fact. Now, that's credit and testament to the head coaching staff. The head coach, Kalani Sitake, got a nice extension. Everybody else involved there with BYU did an outstanding job. But what you can say is that the sum was greater than the individual parts. But you look at some of the advanced analytics, Buffaloes are elite on offense. 22nd in EPA per pass. BYU may really struggle, and this is where I have the concerns. BYU slowing down the passing attack of Colorado. That's one thing I'm looking at. I'm saying to myself, how are they going to do on that front? Now, BYU defensively, when it comes to their pass D, was pretty efficient on that side of the ball, but they also didn't play a team like Colorado in the regular season. And that's the part of this as well that has to be factored in when you're talking about some of these advanced analytics and just overall stats that you look at, right? Like, BYU did not play Colorado. They didn't play Iowa State. They didn't play Texas Tech. They didn't play some of those teams that can beat you over the top. So what did that do to their defensive numbers? Might have helped them out a little bit. Just saying. Colorado is going to have some opportunities down the field, and I think they're going to take them. And the Buffaloes defense emerged, and they led the Big 12 in sacks, and they got better and better and better as the season went on. And the pass defense as well, as a result, improved dramatically. So if BYU is going to win this game, I think they have to slow it down big time. I think it has to get ugly. And BYU is going to have to win one of these ugly, low-scoring games. I don't think BYU can win a shootout. And everything about the Alamo Bowl, historically, we like to see a shootout. I mean, you go through the Alamo Bowl history, and there's a lot of shootouts to look at in this game. Obviously, many of them in recent years have involved Big 12 teams. But there's been plenty of them, right? I mean, we all know them. Arizona over Oklahoma last year. Oklahoma over Oregon a couple of years ago stands out. Texas blew out Colorado, dropped 55 in that game. So you always have a team that typically is over 30. I remember the TCU-Stanford game back in 2017. So there are some high-flying, high-scoring games. And if that's the case, give me Colorado. I'll take Colorado to cover. What are we seeing here at the latest? Just want to make sure I have it right for you. I am seeing Colorado -3. I don't mind 3.5. Might be safe and make sure I've got it at 3 if I'm you. I will take Colorado -3, and I'm looking at a score like 38-31, Colorado over BYU in the Alamo Bowl. There you go. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. Thank you for being here as always as a part of the show. We'll talk to you guys soon. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. And of course, on the podcast, Apple or Spotify. Go Big 12.
Fred runs his own landscaping business.
Yeah, with my two brothers.
They take their business very seriously.
Sure do.
Fred traded up to commercial auto insurance from GEICO for serious customized coverage that grows as his business does, all for seriously low rates.
All right, so when's it going to happen? You know, the big GEICO surprise?
I'm sorry?
Some hair metal band. Are they going to jump out of those bushes?
No, this is a serious GEICO ad.
That pyro was pretty cool, though.
Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial. Steven is an owner-operator truck driver.
Hiya, folks.
Steven traded up to GEICO for serious commercial insurance for both his truck and cargo, all for a seriously great rate.
Ooh, I got one.
Got one what?
A good pun.
This isn't one of those ads.
There's something wrong with that forklift, but it's a giant fork you can't lift, right?
We take commercial insurance very seriously here, Steven.
I'm only semi-serious, huh? You get it?
I see what you did there. Get more with GEICO Commercial Insurance. Trade up today at geico.com/commercial.